Top Stuff, the Rock Antenna Heavy Metal Podcast. Enjoy exclusive interviews with your favorite metalheads. Please welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, good. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. Thank you very much.
That's all we can ask for.
Thanks very much for joining us and taking the time talking to us. That's very nice.
My pleasure.
Yeah, cool shit. We never talked. We never talked before. So that's it's
for Sam for everything, right?
Now, before we talk about the new record, I got to turn back time for a year though, and just start when you had a new old singer coming in.
Yeah.
Now, was back then, was Rob the logical solution or the easy solution for you guys?
No, both. You know, I mean, he's remained one of our closest friends, you know, and one of my favorite singers, you know. I mean,
all right.
The reasons why we parted ways, you know, have been addressed. We're like, the vibe in this band, the energy is like as good as it's ever been in our entire, you know, 4+ decades. And, you know, we joke about like, oh, maybe we'll get some young guy who's still got visible stomach muscles, you know, and can jump off the top of the drum riser without needing to go to the hospital. But, you know, that's just kidding aside. You know, it was Rob all along, and he just destroyed it on the new album, did such amazing job. And on tour, we're having so much fun right now. You know, we're about to do 9 weeks straight, you know, and you have to enjoy your job to do that, you know.
Now, when you started writing Goliath, do you guys have to change, or you had to change your style of writing just a little, just for the new singer, or doesn't that matter at all?
No, it doesn't matter at all. I mean, like, Blood In, Blood Out was written for Rob, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we wrote, every lyric on this album was written after Rob joined. And so it probably has some, you know, effect on it. Also, you know, the way we record is we, like, keep everything up the whole time. We can record a new song in the last 3 days if we want. Because the drums are still mic'd up and they're still ready to go. And we write the whole way through. And when we heard all these different like layers that Rob has to his vocals, you know, it allowed us to pivot, you know, and maybe subconsciously you start writing for, you know, for him and his, you know, ability.
You said you have everything mic'd up. I read somewhere that you guys have written a bunch of more songs, even didn't make it to the record. So you probably have.
We have 80% of the next album done. And yeah, we were on a creative explosion, and Lee was contributing so heavily to this one. Lee and I we said, let's try to do both albums at once. And then we could like quickly release the next one. Or we could go on vacation. You know, I've never had one. I don't know what that's like. And we came close. And, you know, those songs aren't throwaways. I still have anxiety over which songs we selected because they're all, like, insane. But we just picked the collection we liked best for this album. And we picked the ones that we thought were best to put aside for the next. And so we have a little bit more work to do. By the time we get into the studio, we'll probably have more than two. Although that's all we need, we'll, you know, why limit yourself? We'll keep writing. And, And we'll get the next one out pretty quickly.
Which is amazing because I think with people, you know, who had such a career like you guys did, some of them take releasing a new or see releasing a new record as a burden. Just to be, you go back, focus, write, develop, create. You know, and for you guys, it seems to be like, oh, yeah, we're doing this.
Well, I love being in the studio. I mean, you know, like people who complain about it, I don't know what the hell they're complaining about. You're creating art, you know, and if you're an honest musician, you create art only for yourself anyway, you know, like, and you hope people like it, you know, you need people to like it. But the minute you say, I'm going to write a song because the fans want this, then you're musically dishonest. You know, you have to like make yourself happy. And so you're in the studio, you're creating, you know, art, music. that excites you, and it's fun. I enjoy it. You know, we were in the studio for 2 months straight, and we were recording new songs in the last week. The second song on the album, Hostess Humana Generis, I wrote that last, and I did all the rhythm guitars on the album without drums. I just did it to the click track, you know, because Tom hadn't even had a chance to learn it yet. And I'm like, well, why don't I just record the real guitars, and then he'll have a better listening experience to record to rather than just one rough guitar track. So I went in and played the whole song and had nothing but a, you know, a going the whole time, you know, no drums, nothing.
After all those years, where do all the riffs still come from? This is cornucopia of something. You go like, this is insane.
I love doing this. I don't know why anybody would have a problem. You know, if you consider yourself a riff lord, you know, you're supposed to lord over riffs, right? And, I wrote 12 songs. Lee wrote six. Four of Lee's are on the album, you know. We still love doing this, you know, and I love writing riffs, you know. Riffs are life, you know, they make me happy. And so it never seemed hard for me, and that's not making myself out to be special or anything.
Yeah.
But we're also fearless. We'll try whatever makes us happy, you know, and not worry about whether people think we've strayed too far or anything.
Where does Goliath come from? Why did you pick this title, and what does 3111 mean for Germans?
Well, starting with 3111, that's how many people were murdered in Juarez, Mexico in 2010 in
right.
the cartel wars. It's a small town. That's a lot of fucking people, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's where that title came from. As far as Goliath, you know, when we finished the song, you know, we knew it was enormous, and it just kind of spoke to me to write some like comic book fantasy about a subterranean deity who's woken from centuries of slumber to enslave mankind. And, you know, like, simple, you know. I was asked recently what the existential meaning is. I said, there is none. It's just mere fantasy. But the album is so huge, we just thought it represented the whole record perfectly. And we've never had a single word title. There's always kind of a sing-songy cadence to an Exodus album title, Bonded by Blood,
yeah,
of the Flesh, Fabulous Disaster, Force of Habit. It's just the way we always have operated, you know. So this is just it's a change for us, even in the title, you know.
Do you guys have problems writing songs or finishing songs? What was the hardest song that you had to finish the hardest piece of work there?
I don't know. You know, we don't consider it work. So yeah, it's like not hard. I mean, like, you know, the epics are harder to finish because there's so many more like tempos and tracks and things, you know. A song that's just a straightforward driving song, you just riff out and, you know, record it. You know, Summon of the God Unknown was tricky to record because there's so many different things to do. And, you know, I wrote two epics and we saved one for the next album. That one was real difficult because it's like 8 minutes of just punishing riffing. It's like fucking, it's crushing and it hurts. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes, you know, like there's a couple of songs in the next album that are like brilliant and they're amazing. But I thought they could use a little bit more love, you know, just to get them perfect. You know, they were like really, really good. There's a couple that we've set aside that are flawless, and I'm like, man, I should have put that on the album. It's so good. Like half of my favorite solos, of course, are on the next record. Go figure. Just the way it works, you know. Like,
is the band when you guys writing songs? I mean, you write a bunch, and Lee writes a bunch. Do the other guys have a say in that?
Yeah. Well, Tom wrote lyrics. Rob wrote a lot of lyrics, and Jack's not one of the songwriters, but he's like one of the first people I go to for, you know, opinions on arrangements and things. And so, you know, he has his say in all of it. But yeah, we're a democracy. No one says this is the way it is. You know, we'll listen to each other, and sometimes we might question someone's vision. But then in the end, when the whole picture is revealed, you know, we realize that we're right. You know, you see it now. Because like Lee and myself, we can both like envision a song where it takes multiple tracks and layers to like reveal the meaning of it. But, you know, we know it's what it's going to be. And someone might in the band might say, I don't know what you're going with this. But, you know, just hear me out and listen and wait. And it all will be revealed. You know, when the picture is complete, you know, right now you're looking at one color out of the painting.
Now you're going to be here on tour with Creator in Carcass.
Yeah.
How many new songs can you play in a 1 hour set? I don't even know how long.
I think it's like 40 minutes.
Okay, you got 50 classic tracks to choose from, and then
it's hard. Because, you know, we know which songs we have to play, but we're also a band that's never shied away from playing new material. We're not going to go out and play one new song and then everything you expect us to play. You know, we're going to switch it up. You know, it's a new album, so we're still learning these songs as a band, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, over the course of the release of the album, we'll gradually add more songs in, you know, we want to get to the part where we can, if we desire, switch and play any song on the album. But we're gathering for rehearsals in the summer to really work all that out. So we'll probably play two on the tour, maybe three, you know, maybe four. We might switch them up a little bit, you know.
Is a tour like this with four bands and you're not headlining, is it actually more convenient to go out there and play, do your stuff, but don't have to headline? Or you say like, I wish I could play 2 hours and then, you know, give it all.
No, it's convenient as hell. I'll be, by the time Creator's on stage, I'll be on the bus watching reality television. Have some dinner, get ready for bed. You know, I like it because it keeps me on a daily schedule, you know?
Yeah. So what can we expect? Dungeons, Dragons, and Fireworks?
Musical fireworks for sure. No Dungeons and Dragons.
Are you guys friends with Creator and Carcass?
Yeah. We've been friends for decades. It's going to be a lot of fun. Same with Carcass. And Nails, you know, I met one of them recently, but I'm sure we'll be lifelong friends after this. But yeah, it's going to be a great tour. It's like we're all longtime friends, and it's going to be a lot of laughs.
I got to ask you again, though, because for touring, it's the same with with recording. I mean, you guys have been doing this for decades. And don't you ever get the feeling or the hint of getting tired of it?
No, we love playing. The travel, you know, I don't like to travel. When I leave the house for a tour, I'm sad, you know, because I'm leaving my home, my wife, my kids, my grandkids. But as soon as I see my brothers, I'm happy again. And, you know, it's hard. You know, I'm 61 years old. You have joint issues, arthritis, finger pain, things like that. It's no joke, you know. I've been stuck full of needles all over to, like, keep my body going. But, you know, this is what I love to do. And so, you know, I'll do it until I can't.
I didn't know you were a grandpa.
Oh, three times, yeah. With three grandchildren.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah. I'm not a young man.
That's purely insane, but it's great.
I mean, we're not alone. There's several heavy metal grandpas out there.
Well, you guys achieved so much. You are one of the, you know, the most iconic thrash metal ever. Is there anything in the Exodus bucket list that you guys haven't achieved or haven't done yet?
Well, we haven't achieved nothing.
That's the way I did. I mean, I'm sorry.
That's the way we look at it, though. Exodus operates with a huge chip on our shoulders and an attitude of like, we have not accomplished anything yet, you know? And so that's what pushes us to like push the boundaries and continue to like make the music actually harder to play than the early era stuff. You know, we're not making life easy on ourselves, you know, because, you know, here's a new song and it's like 250 beats per minute. Like, that's insane. That's fast as fuck, you know? But, you know, we constantly feel like we have to like prove ourselves, you know?
Do you think you get all the merits and all the praising, appraisals, whatever, that you deserve, actually?
The practical part of me says yes. You know, people like pay homage and other musicians will like tip their hat to us, and that's great. Yeah. The paranoid part of me says no way. We fucking never get any recognition and everybody's out to get us and everybody else is just a fucking bunch of posers. You know, so both are true. The two things can be true at the same time.
That's great. Now there's the Exodus bucket list, but is there a Gary Holt bucket list? I mean, you released your memoir already. So you've got that done.
I'm living my bucket list, you know, and I'm a survivor, you know, I've like done enough damage to myself and I come out of it happy and healthy and, you know, my life is happy. I'm a working musician who makes a living playing music. Not rich, but, you know, I'm rich spiritually if you want to go that route, you know, not religiously, you know, but yeah, I'm happy. My life is good.
Now we know that there's With Goliath, there's new record, there's another new record coming soon. But what does it take to put an end to Exodus? Because I think you never end.
Nuclear war, we'll still play. We'll be like cockroaches, you know, the last surviving creature, except we'll like evolve and mutate from the radiation and I'll have extra arms and can play like two guitars at once.
Write a record about it.
yeah, exactly. We'll outlive the cockroaches.
No, seriously. I mean, can you actually figure out that, you know, you have cycles, you have touring cycles, you have recording cycles, you know, you have a master plan, a 5-year plan or whatever. But do you think there's like one plan where he goes like, and here it says end?
No, we'll keep doing as long as we can do it at a high enough level. You know, I mean, I don't want to ever walk out on stage and feel like I'm harming my own legacy and the legacy of the band, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't made my job easy. You know, like it's one thing if we were like a more traditional metal band, and that's, I'm not knocking that, where the songs aren't devastating to your physical health to play. You know, this shit is hard. It's rough. And, you know, and the performing part of it's hard, but yeah. You know, as long as I can go out and play the songs the way I want to play and not look like I should quit, I'm not going to quit. But, you know, there will come a time when we can't play Strike of the Beast the way it needs to be played, you know?
All right.
You know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Now, you mentioned before that you never had a vacation. But I think the last couple of years, you had paid summer vacations, touring, you know, going on shows with Slayer.
Yeah, but those aren't vacations. They're working vacations. I've never had a
vacation.
I've never had a vacation where I left the guitar at home.
Okay.
I mean, I've gone to some nice places, but I had to play to get there. I had to work my way there. I've never just left the guitars at home, left the business at home, and just gotten on a plane. You know, and I plan on doing it one of these days.
You should. It's good. Take all your great bits.
Have an enormous amount of freaking flyer miles. Just saving and saving them, you know?
But I just got to ask you one thing, because it seems to become a regularity that, you know, you do all the touring with Exodus and you tour the whole way through and do stuff. And then in summer, there's two Slayer shows somewhere for all the wrong reasons or right reasons. And it seems to, you know, continue like this.
Well, right now it's a, you know, it's a year-to-year thing. We're doing two shows this year. And
yeah.
And I think when we first came back, the two most important things were, are we going to enjoy it and have fun? Yeah. And will we be really good? And we were really fucking good and we had a great time. And, you know, the band's earned the right to like pop up for a couple of shows a year. And it lets me focus on Exodus and lets people still get a taste of Slayer, especially since there's a whole new generation they never got to, you know?
Do you think you're going to make it over to the old Europe too sometimes?
I have no idea. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it, you know? You know, when they say, hey, we're doing this or we're doing that, I'll see how it goes.
All right. I think I have no more further questions, Your Honor.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Tough Stuff, the Rock Antenna Heavy Metal Podcast. Comment, like, and follow us. For nonstop heavy metal music, check out our Rock Antenna Heavy Metal web radio stream. For more information and all podcast episodes, go to rockantenna.de/heavymetal.